Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. There is a fascinating book that was put out by the Minnesota Historical Society Press a few years back, and it has been experiencing a resurgence of popularity. And it was actually the topic of a series this summer called One Book, Second Chapter, a fascinating book of essays called A Good Time for the Truth, Race in Minnesota. Couldn't be more apt. The editor joins us this morning on the phone, Sun Young Shin. Thank you so much for being our guest this morning. It's great to have you. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about the original genesis of this collection of essays. You bring together a really astonishing roster of fabulous voices from a variety of disparate peoples here in the state. Many of these names are familiar to me as folks that have been guests on this program before. Where did the genesis of this book come from the first time around?
I was listening to, it was a lot of public radio conversations at the time around 2014, 2015. And I remember in particular that there were studies coming out about health disparities in Minnesota and in Minneapolis, where I live. And then that led to conversations around other racial disparities in housing and in education. And I was a public school English teacher at the time, so I was really immersed in these issues of the so-called achievement gap and the high school graduation gap. I had two children who were teenagers at the time, and so it was just really paying attention to what was happening in our country, of course, and in Minnesota. It was also a time shortly prior to that, then during that time, and of course now when killings of unarmed black men and black women were being recorded on cell phones, and for the first time, white America had a kind of wake-up call for people who were paying attention anyway, that at least many of them could no longer say, oh, this doesn't happen.
I've thought so often, with so much sadness, every time I see a cell phone video, and I think how many hundreds, thousands of incidents went uncaptured. How often did this happen? How often does it still happen? And no one is there with a cell phone to record it. And so we're only seeing this tiny bit. And yet,
exactly. You
show people, in this particular instance, I think the country was ripe for it because, in essence, that one video, however horrifying, of George Floyd's death, really, all of a sudden people had said, okay, that's it. That's the tipping point. We're done with this.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. And so it's tragic that our book is still needed so much. But of course, we knew that this would, the struggle for racial justice has been going on for 400 years. And we are in this time, right, of the pandemic and this particular administration and the divisiveness in the country, that, this was enough, and the whole world was watching, and so we're full of grief, but we're also glad that the book is in our community. And we have the support from the press and from the Friends of the St. Paul Public Library and public radio and so many in the community who want to have these conversations and want to have them in so many spaces. So at the time, you know, I just thought, oh, wow, there's, you know, Minnesota's starting finally to talk about race, which is the first time since I moved here in 1992 that really that I heard the white community talking about racism just a little bit. And I thought, well, my friends and I, my colleagues and I, other people that I read and learn from, we are constantly talking about race. We're constantly living our lives as people of color and Native people. Everything that we do basically is affected by racism in some way or another. We have a lot to say, and a lot of us have been working on these issues, writing on them, teaching them. Let me see if someone will want to help me get a collection together so we can make a contribution.
One of the things that I've been thrilled to discover from authors who are doing virtual book readings and virtual, well, not book signing events, but doing virtual book launches, is how excited many of them are and how the attendance for these events online exceeds the attendance that they would have had in person. And they're also reporting not only that there are more people in attendance, but that people from other parts of the country can attend, you know, where maybe you wouldn't from Duluth get in a car, drive to the cities to go to a book conversation. You have the opportunity to enjoy it virtually, which I think is one of the really great things that perhaps that's come out of the pandemic. So the book being chosen for this summer series was an opportunity for a lot of different little indie bookstores and stuff to host. How did that work? Did you host a variety of, did they host several of the authors? Did they host just you? Did they host just one author at a time? And are there more events coming up with the opportunity to engage you or the contributors to this book? Because boy, I think we really need it now more than ever.
We do. We do. And people are really looking for support. And it's good that we have this book and so many other resources. So there was the big event on August 20th with me and several of the Black contributors to the anthology, who I'd asked to work with me for the main event to have this conversation. And then there's also been other events hosted by libraries across the state, and there will be more, yes. So there will be more free events. People should follow or should go to Minnesota Historical Society Press events list. Look at the page for our book. I also have a Facebook account for the book, and I also publicize the events on my Facebook account. It's going to be going on. The thing about the Zoom events is that they do make events accessible to more people who have internet, of course, and who have a device. I do want to mention, though, that I've just been hearing from some other authors around the country that Zoom attendance has been, you know, amazing, but it doesn't sell as many books as live events, which makes sense because even if there's a bookseller engaged, there's not the instant gratification of buying the book. There's not the opportunity to get the book signed that moment. But we, you know, we do need, especially since most of these readings are free, presses need people to buy the books so that they can keep making books that are risks, frankly. So this book was a risk, and I really salute the press for taking it on. I mean, I think as a historical society press, it is their responsibility to represent all of Minnesota. But it's also something they didn't have to do, and which was a risk for them because, you know, it's been taboo to talk about racism in Minnesota in the white community. And so it was really brave of them to support this project.
It has taken a long time for people to start to realize that the experience of white middle class Minnesotans is not the same experience that everybody had growing up, and that things really are a lot different for you depending on your race, depending on your economic situation. When you hear people in conversation or perhaps the news media toss around terms like racial disparities or historical trauma, are you encouraged by that?
That's a great question. I am encouraged because we have to understand our history in order to change the future, of course. It's a cliche, but it's true. And the United States and Minnesota in particular has not gone through the kind of truth and reckoning process that we really need to in order to move forward. So while I'm heartened, it's also, you know, terms like racial disparities and historical trauma are very helpful, but they are also quite abstract. And so that's why I think the stories in A Good Time for the Truth, Race in Minnesota, have been so widely embraced. I mean, we've sold almost 40,000 copies of the book since it came out. And, you know, then people can feel the very personal, vulnerable anguish in these essays, also the humor, the warmth, the hope, the determination. And without these personal stories, you know, these things for a lot of white Minnesotans remain abstract because as a state, you know, it's a state that's 84% white. And so a lot of people, especially in some different communities, because of the history of segregation, really don't have a social circle that includes any or, you know, more than a few people of color because of segregation, because of racism. So people don't have personal experiences. And this book is an entryway into those personal stories and hopefully, you know, a more integrated society and, of course, less violence. So thank you. It's a great question.
Well, the prying our minds open, realizing that our experiences are different, talking to people, having the opportunity to talk to people, and sometimes those conversations are clueless on the part of white Minnesotans. Sometimes I'm assuming that they're hurtful. And yet to reach out and to make contact with a genuine effort at trying to understand better, you start to hear a few stories and all of a sudden your jaw drops and you look at your entire world around you differently and you realize that somebody else has been living in the exact same community and yet they're not seeing the same people, they're not seeing the same attitudes, they're not seeing the same things at all. And that's how we start to, you know, break down some of these barriers and understand one another a little bit better, I hope.
Sun Young, it's the first step.
Thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. We've got some great links available about the book, about events coming up. You have a website called What Can I Do About Racism? We'll get a link set up to that. So there'll be all kinds of information on our website about the book and some of the events surrounding it a little bit later this morning. You can find it at kumd.org. Sun Young Shin, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. What a treat it was to talk with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. I appreciate your time.
Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.